Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Did not see that coming. Good morning. Welcome to AM 560, Chicago's Morning Answer. Amy Jacobson here with the one and only Bruce Wolf. And
hi.
Bruce, I have to tell you, you're very dressed up.
Yeah.
What's going on? Do you have a date later?
Well, actually, I think I'm going to have breakfast with Chet Kopic a little bit later.
Wait, he's having breakfast with Chet Kopic.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Chet. What do you call him?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, the sweatshirt that I've been wearing the first 2 days, I noticed that there were some food stains on it, and you were kind enough not to say anything about it.
I just thought of that as a shell because you had a different T-shirt on both days underneath.
Actually,
the
I did not.
You didn't? Did you wash this apparel before you wore it for a second time?
I don't sweat much, so I don't have sweat.
My grandma calls it perspiring. We don't say we sweat. We perspire.
That's like in the old days, you didn't say pregnant.
What did you say?
I forgot what the word was.
With child?
No, it wasn't pregnant. Mike, you work with Patty Hayes. You ought to know what the word was. Expecting.
Expecting,
you were expecting.
Yeah.
You didn't say
what
pregnant.
What to expect
What's
when you're expecting
pregnant?
was the big book everybody got, right?
We
did.
That might have predated Dr. Spock. Lamaze.
Did you do Lamaze?
Three times. Two remedial Lamazes. The third time, we didn't even get to use it because the baby just dropped out when we got to the hospital.
Really?
Lamaze.
Well, I know, but Lamaze
three times.
No, you go to the class and you go to a Lamaze class and practice breathing.
That's all mythology anyway. They don't do that anymore.
I know.
But I took it back in that day.
You know what it is?
Day.
It's a good bonding thing with your husband and the baby. And
it was a total myth, but this is how much we were, involved in all this. I took it once. Once would have been enough. But two remedial Lamaze classes after that?
I think that's overkill.
Well, how many kids do you have?
Five.
Do you have a brood? You have five kids.
Yeah, right.
He has a quiver.
How many years have we been working together?
Wow, I know, but
together,
five.
You know nothing
is,
about me.
No, that's still hard to process that you have five children.
And six grandchildren.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm the father of our country.
How old's your oldest?
41.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have a kid who's almost as old as you are.
Oh, you know what? It's so sweet.
I mean, he's older than you are. He's like several years older
All right,
than you
right. Now you're stretching the truth. Don't do that.
And Mike, how old is your kid?
He'll be oldest. 23 soon. My oldest.
Your oldest? And does he go to Hope College?
I know.
He always wears Hope College gear.
I do. He went to Calvin in Grand Rapids for quite a while.
That's kind of close. I was in Michigan at least.
Yeah, but if you say he's at Hope and he went to Calvin, that's them's fighting words.
Yeah.
No, he's finishing up at Trinity International in Deerfield. So
I have
soon?
A Trinity sweatshirt.
Do you?
Oh, you know, sports guys always get
the
free gear.
Oh, that's right, because
Sean Gale.
Leslie Frazier.
Leslie Frazier, good old number 23.
Was the football coach there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Leslie Frazier was there. So, yeah.
That we know that is really scary.
Everything I wear is free. Even the shirt I'm wearing is free. It was given to me by my best friend who gained a little weight. So he gave me his Tommy Bahama shirt.
I like it.
They're really nice.
No, that's very nice.
Put that on the live stream.
Are you having a Me Too moment right now?
Because you eyed me?
Yeah, it feels creepy. I don't know why. And I'm the one doing it.
I'm being eyed.
You're being
by
eyeballed.
The architectural wonder.
Oh,
that
that's
Amy
so
Jacobson.
Sweet. That's so sweet. Big show today. Big show.
Well, Stonehenge is the one.
We have a lot to get to. I mean, were you how shocked were you yesterday?
About Flynn?
Flynn.
You know, I confess that it was like, somebody please explain this to me because I don't understand what's going on. But now I think I've made some sense of it. And,
well, it was a stunning courtroom surprise. I mean, he went in there expecting to get no jail time. And the judge Sullivan, who, which you're going to tell you more about later in the program, he asked him three times, are you sure you don't want to postpone this? And then again, are you sure you don't want to postpone this? He did not take kindly. He slammed him, basically saying you sold your country out. And he asked prosecutors if he committed treason. You know, so what does this mean for Flynn's future, and what does this mean for the Trump administration? 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
See, I misread it. It says Judge Emmett Sullivan, but I think it may be Judge Emily Latella, because he changed his mind after he was informed that Flynn was not really an agent of a foreign country while he was being interrogated by the FBI. He'd given that up before in November, I think. So the judge was misinformed, and he had to take a few steps back. I think everybody needs to take a cleansing breath we say in Lamaze, and go back and come back in 3 months, because the judge looked stupid.
Yeah, well, rather foolish.
No, he did take a recess, and when he came back, he apologized for the treason comment.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a big apology.
Yeah.
That's a big, I'm sorry.
They asked him, do you want to change your plea? And he said no. But the thing that Michael Flynn's lawyers did was that they said that he was caught off guard by the FBI.
Now, here's what I think.
By the FBI interview.
Here's what, I'm trying to piece this together, and I'm just, inferring a lot of things. But he comes up with this memo. Both sides came up with sentencing memos. And Flynn's side, it wasn't exactly a mea culpa. He was chronicling how the FBI bamboozled him, seduced him into testifying. So the judge, to his credit, trying to look at the evidence in a light most favorable to the judge right now. The judge says, well, wait a minute. And the judge has a reputation for being hard on prosecutorial misconduct. So the judge looks at it and he says, well, do you really want to plead guilty right now? Why don't you roll the dice right now and see what I do to you? Meanwhile, on the other hand, he's saying, well, you're a foreign agent, even though he's mistaken about that. And so Flynn doesn't know what to do at this point. And they wanted to come away with zero time. Is he going to get 6 months to a year or more or whatever? Or, she rolled the dice and maybe he's awarded damages.
No, it was an early Christmas gift. And here's a former federal prosecutor who was in the courtroom.
I think it's possible the judge actually gave Flynn a little bit of a break today. If he had imposed sentence today, he may have given Flynn some prison time.
Yeah, it's an early Christmas present.
Flynn was actually smiling during the earlier portion of the hearing, and he got a serious look on his face in a hurry.
Now that's the former federal prosecutor. The other person was a U.S. attorney. It's a man, and he has two legs, and he was inside the courtroom.
Dan Webb said
that General Flynn was smiling and relaxed and happy, and then in an instant, everything changed.
Yeah, when your fate is on the line, it's easy for us to sit in the grandstands. But
to what he has to do. He has to stay within 50 miles of Washington, D.C., has to hand over his passport in January, come back March 13th. Well,
what's he going to do, join Al-Qaeda after he killed their leader?
He's a general. He's given 30 years to this country. And we're going to throw him in jail?
What's his name? Zakawi, the Al-Qaeda leader, who was responsible for the deaths of thousands of people. It was Flynn and I believe Stanley McChrystal who got rid of that guy.
He's
a war hero.
That's why we cannot let him go
like garbage,
to prison.
Whereas Hillary Clinton's attorneys, Cheryl Mills and then Huma Abedin, get away with lying to the FBI. And that's why. And you know what? What's going to happen over the next several months? Is Trump going to release some documents here? Are we going to find out even more? Maybe it's going to even turn out better for Flynn by the time March.
Well, I'm surprised because, President Trump keeps calling Cohen a rat. He's a rat.
Yeah.
He's not calling General Flynn a rat. And General Flynn has met with the special counsel 19 times in the past year.
Well, what was fascinating was the judge actually asked. He asked the government.
The judge looked clueless.
Well, no, but he asked the government, what's the underlying crime here? I mean, he lied, but what's the... And, they go, the Logan Act? And the judge laughed at that. So, I mean, this is some malfeasance in search of a crime.
He said, I'm not hiding my disgust, my disdain for your criminal offense. The aggravating circumstances are serious. Not only did you lie to the FBI, you lied to senior officials in the incoming administration.
That's not a crime. I mean, they've been doing that for centuries. Do you think the aggrieved party should be President Trump, right? You see President Trump wanting anything to happen to Flynn? So, you know, where does the judge have standing? That's no big deal.
Well, Sarah Sanders responded for the White House and for President Trump.
What we do know that was inappropriate by own self-admittance of James Comey is that the FBI broke standard protocol in the way that they came in and ambushed General Flynn, and in the way that they questioned him, and in the way that they encouraged him not to have White House counsel's office present. And we know that because James Comey told us that, and he said that the very reason that they did it was because the only reason that they did it was the Trump administration, and they thought they could get away with it.
Yeah.
Those are facts, and certainly there may be other issues there, but that we don't have any reason to want to walk that back.
The FBI can't, and the government can't argue that what Flynn did was commit a crime against this incoming administration, when Comey himself wouldn't even tell the president that Flynn had lied about this. I mean, shouldn't he have informed the president about this? He had the opportunity to do it. He didn't. Well, and he says, well, no, I can't because there's an investigation. And that's the underlying thing. What's the big, there's no there, as Gertrude Stein, I believe, said, Oakland. There's no there. There's no Russian collusion. It doesn't exist.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
You know, we do have a big bowl game coming up on Saturday, The Bahamas Bowl, which is sponsored by Elk Grove Village. Who's in the Bahamas Bowl?
And we care about Elk Grove Village because why?
Because we are in Elk Grove Village.
We are actually in Elk Grove Village right now. Right off the Arlington Heights Road exit on the Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of our tax dollars are going to this bowl.
The Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah. Because we had the big Boca Raton Bowl last night. And Chuck Kopic will be joining us at 8:38
to
break down the Boca Raton Bowl.
I'm going down to like the 20th pair. I still don't see a name on this story. Who's in the Makers
Bowl? I know. I don't know who's. Well, you know what?
I know.
Oh, yes. Of course you know.
Trinity College.
It's FIU, Florida International.
Watch it.
And the
FIU
and the Toledo Rockets, little maction on the
Rockets. Thank you.
The Toledo Rockets and the FIU
Panthers, whatever they call them at Florida.
Don't be so dismissive, Mike.
You know, it's Florida. Sorry.
You guys' ego is really big. Let's go quickly to Philip, who joins us on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Good morning. A couple of facts. Flynn lied to the vice president, and then the vice president unintentionally lied to the American people, and I guess he lied to Trump too, so Trump fired him. Right. And it's the thing about it, I wish that, you know, there was somebody higher than Trump other than the American people that can fire Trump. But he also lied to the FBI, and so
he wasn't allowed representation for that interview, and Peter Strzok was the one who went to the White House and did the interview. Peter Strzok, of all people.
What did the judge say? The judge asked Flynn, did he intentionally lie, and was he entrapped? Flynn said no. He had to say no, because if he lied to this judge, he already knows that he's probably going to wait for a longer spell than 6 months.
Philip.
So why not believe Flynn, what he's saying in front of the judge?
Because he made a deal, and legally, he knew that he had no out, but he didn't want to roll the dice there. I mean, he made that deal. He wanted to get zero time. It's very expensive. The guy's probably broke now. I mean, think about that. A war hero is probably broke right now.
Knee deep
so,
in
come on, you know
bill.
This, Philip. Philip, you know this whole thing stinks. You know this whole thing stinks.
A war hero can't lie and be a traitor?
No, he did lie.
He's not a traitor.
He's not a traitor. He did plead guilty to it. He recognizes. I just don't think, thanks, Philip, he was contrite
Good
enough.
Good call. Phillip's
but I don't think he was contrite enough yesterday in front of the judge. Mike Flynn, if he walked in a little smiley, a little cocky, doesn't sit well, especially if it's because any prosecutor and special counsel can recommend any sentencing, but it's up to the judge to decide what they're going to get. Anywhere from zero time to 6 months. And I think he gave Flynn an early Christmas present. That's why he's coming back in March, so that he could spend time with his family over the holidays.
Well, he's not going to get 6 months later. But, I mean, here's the problem. I mean, I think you're right that the judge, hey, it's my courtroom. This isn't being tried in the media, on the cable stations and everything. I get to do what's right and just. I see this memo here. Oh, you're trying to and he's playing a little game there with Flynn. Oh, you're giving me a memo that says that the government did something wrong? I'm hard on prosecutors. You want me to do something? On the other hand, you're a traitor. Oops, I made a mistake, too. So the judge had a little egg on his face. Everybody gets to take the cleansing breath, and then they'll come back in March. And I still think he's going to get zero time.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Listen to podcasts of Joe Walsh and Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Taking your phone calls all morning long about Michael Flynn, his sentencing hearing suspended. Let's go quickly to Kansas, who joins Candace. Candace,
good morning.
Who's not in Kansas?
What's wrong with Candace?
Candace lived in DuPage, and now Candace is of Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin.
Oh, she used to live in the city of Chicago. Is she on the lam, Candace?
You guys, don't you know it's all about politics now where you live? That's just a new thing. You got to keep moving like a shark with the Democrats. Okay, so listen. If I were Flynn, the first thing I'd do is fire my attorneys, because I don't think that he was advised very well at all. It's really disappointing to see him claiming that he's guilty to a process crime. So that's what I want to say to your last caller. No, he didn't lie. You can't remember everything when you're 60-some years old. Every single minute detail.
That's a good point.
No, he lied. He did lie. I mean, he lied. But
what?
It's just about the last interaction.
He lied. What he did wasn't illegal, as Mark Levin pointed out.
I agree, and I pointed it out before Mark Levin did. Okay, so there.
Oh, boy.
No, I agree.
Yeah, right.
Totally agree.
I got those two fighting.
Hey, Candace, while we have you on the line just for a quick second, because I know what you say on Twitter and stuff like that, and I know Amy's going to chastise me for bringing this up. Candace does not believe in exercise, okay? I don't want to exercise, and I don't want to exercise. What should we eat? What should we eat?
Very quickly.
In a tweet's
worth. Dr. Furman, Furman, who is the best GP in New York City, wrote a book, Eat to Live.
Right.
Anybody having inflammation issues, arthritis, whatever, read that book.
How about enzymes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all about enzymes. Exercise is hard on your body. You're not meant to be fight or flight all the time. It's very hard on your body.
Right, and when you get older, you can't remember things, and you lie to the FBI, and you get fat. I get it, so just tell me.
So Michael Flynn should watch what he's eating.
Exactly.
This is the bottom line. We're wrapping this up.
He probably took the wrong foods.
All right, thanks, Candace. Okay. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Candace.
All right.
I wanted to know what to eat.
You wanted to know? Well, okay, you just ate a hard-boiled egg that I provided for you. That's a good start.
And how
did you leave me one by?
I did, and I saw there were only two little...
Two little ovules. Two little huevos left in the refrigerator.
And you let me have one of them.
I did. Right. It's all right. I share.
Okay.
Certain people. yesterday, we learned some gruesome information. The two police officers who were killed by the South Shore train, one of their police body camera was working, and it showed the two officers responding to a scene where they heard shots being fired. So it shows them exiting the patrol car, going up the hill to the Metro tracks at 103rd and Cottage Grove. And you can hear them talking about where the offender may have gone. So in the distance, the officers can see a train approaching, heading north, making noise. And police say it's because of that. It masked the sound of the other high-speed train that was instantly upon them. They were both hit from behind. They died instantly. Police say it happened fast, but the train was going 65 miles per hour. And it's just an anomaly. What happened here is the head of the South Shore line.
This is not a typical occurrence to have a train pedestrian situation on those tracks.
And the Fraternal Order of Police not getting involved because they want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, that there's a protocol, that there's some line rules in place where cops don't end up on train tracks?
There are protocols, and I believe everything was adhered to with these officers, but it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. We certainly have questions, and I think that the investigation, and it is under investigation, will be answered.
And again, the South Shore line was full of commuters, and it was only feet behind them. And the body cam video then quickly fades to black upon impact. And it's just, I mean, this 5th District, so they've had these two officers who died, Officer Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo, whose services, by the way, are going to be Friday and Saturday. And they had one police officer. She committed suicide in her car before her shift began. Another police officer from that same district committed suicide after his shift. And then the 5th officer from that district had health problems and died. So they are grieving, grieving, grieving. But here's the thing, Bruce, the suspect in this, he was just test firing his gun. So he went to an open area, he thought, where the bullet wouldn't hit anybody. So he went to that embankment by the train tracks.
He's not a criminal.
And was firing his gun. Never fired shots at police, never fired shots at anyone. Still in custody.
But he didn't do anything.
I don't know. Well, he did run from the cops, but that's even in dispute because he was just there firing off his weapon.
I mean,
see how it works.
He hadn't robbed a 7-Eleven and run away with a gun.
No, we still don't know if he owned that gun legally.
So it's just a bunch of unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to get charged? I mean, in this high-profile case, I mean, this was on network news. This is a big story.
What are they going to charge him with?
Involuntary manslaughter.
He caused them to be hit by a train?
He didn't mean? Yeah, I think he did.
No, it wasn't his activity that... I'm not a criminal lawyer, but this is a highly unusual circumstance. And, you know, I don't want to start blaming the police for their own deaths, but, I mean, you're not supposed to go on a train. And how did you know? How did you know that there one would be in the coming in the opposite direction because you couldn't hear it? It was just really, really unfortunate.
Yeah, and these two, they weren't partners, but they were thrown together because, you know, sometimes if your partner's on furlough, you get thrown with a different partner. It was their first night working together.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Shut me up. Sing it, Bruce. We'll break it.
Dream come true.
Doing it our way. Were you a Laverne or a Shirley fan?
Marianne or Ginger? Ginger. I didn't care about either one of them. You know, they don't have theme songs to TV shows anymore.
That's right. And we won't try. Never heard the word impossible this time. No.
Shlemiel. Shlemazel.
Wait, do it. Based in Milwaukee, Laverne and Shirley, remember they worked in the... They worked in the factory. They worked in the brewery and come home with hard, cold cash. But I love this show because for young women growing up in the 70s, yes, I'm old. And I look like Christine Blasey Ford. But besides that.
Cat Timpf. You have a Cat Timpf look.
It just gave us hope. Yeah. Like, we don't have to be home taking care of a man and doing housework. We can just, you know.
A long, lonely life. Yeah. See, when my wife and I take long drives, like to visit our daughter, so I put on the car, I don't think it's called an iPod anymore, whatever it is that I've got.
You use the aux cord?
It's not the aux cord. It's
the Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
All right.
And
very sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. So I play TV music themes, and we try to guess it. But they don't have very many TV themes anymore. The themes, because the shows are so tightly constructed. You have like a 12-second theme.
So Penny Marshall died at age 75, of course, known for Laverne and Shirley. And they did have bloopers back then.
You married Scotty! Oh, Lenny! I've got my dignity, you know. I sure do. What the hell's the line?
No, you're right. Yeah, but I don't know where to start.
And then you to mess up. They were performed in front of a live studio audience.
Were you a Lenny or a Squiggy guy?
I didn't like Lenny or Squiggy.
I didn't like Laverne or Shirley either.
I don't know why they hung out with them. But she went on to become a world-famous director. I mean, of course, the movie A League of Their Own, which was the highest-grossing baseball movie. I didn't even realize that.
I
thought Field of Dreams would be
There is better. Crying in baseball today, I just want to say.
And the movie Big. Yeah. So did you see Big and
Saw
A League of
Big
Their Own?
And A League of Their Own.
Okay. Yeah. So she died from complications of diabetes in
her
home.
That's the highest-grossing film,
That's
baseball
what they said.
Film?
That's what CNN reported and NBC. I was shocked.
Really?
Yeah. It's she repeated
Bad News Bears did not beat that?
She repeated it in 1992 with the film A League of Her Own, which chronicled a women's baseball league in the 1940s and featured all-star cast, Gina sure. Davis, Madonna member, she was in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said it was the highest grossing baseball film of all time.
Tom Hanks is in both of those movies.
Yep, it was really good.
Big and that.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder, we didn't get his reaction.
Did she do Platoon as well? No, he wasn't. No, he was in the other, what's the World War II? Private Ryan.
Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, no, didn't do that. Hey, we have a list of people who have helped us with our Food for the Poor campaign. Individual donations have been coming in. Alan in Winnetka, we want to thank him. We want to thank Michael in Malibu, California, who listens to the show. Amy in Mundelein, Dawn in Frankfurt, and the list goes on and on. And we've asked these fine listeners to help us out, to help those less fortunate this year. An $80 donation to feed a child for a year and provide clean water for life. It is so imperative in countries that are just so poor and they have no government net to rely on. So they starve to death, literally. And 1 in 14 children do not live to see their fifth birthday. So we're asking for that one-time donation, 844-862-4673. Make a donation on behalf of your well-fed children or grandchildren, Bruce, and help the less fortunate this year. Do you have the number? Because you're going to call it. It's 844-862-4673.
Right.
But we also have a great deal if you own or make the marketing decisions for your business.
Yes. In fact, it's called our Business Benefactor Program. With this program, any business that makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Food for the Poor will receive 60-second commercials Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. on AM 560, The Answer. For a business that wants to be involved in this program, here's how you can do it. You call sales manager Anjanette Netkowski directly at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM 560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
So I got my email yesterday from State Rep Jeannie Ives, who I supported during the primary election, and my kids were shouting Jeannie Ives out the window outside our polling place. It was really cute.
That's great.
But the email that I received, she's backing, throwing her support behind a Paul student. Well, oh my gosh. Hello, Krupa.
Yeah.
David Krupa, who was on our show a few days ago,
right.
It was Monday. And on Tuesday, I've sent that email to her supporters around the state to encourage them to help Krupa get elected. And Krupa says Ives' email has led to an uptick in financial support.
And so also to 15,000 more revocation signatures in his ward. Yes.
So the email, she also, wants to take on the machine and help him take on this machine and encourage investigations into what Madigan did with those petitions.
Yes, thank you. I would like to think that we helped persuade Jeannie Ives,
yes,
a faithful listener to this
did.
Program, to throw her support behind not Gene Krupa.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Wednesday morning. Thanks for making us part of your morning. Amy Jacobson here. Bruce Wolf sitting in for Dan Proft this week, and some surprises next year, too. You'll be sitting in as well. Glad to have you back. And real quickly, I just wanted to congratulate Congresswoman Martha McSally. She has now been appointed to fill the seat of outgoing Senator John Kyle, who filled the seat for John McCain. The announcement was made yesterday by Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. that she is going to have the position for the next 2 years. And, of course, she was in that contentious race with Democratic Rep. Kristen Sinema. Have you seen her?
Yes.
The very varying
the
hair
heathen.
Colors. No,
she's,
I mean, she's
a heathen, isn't
the
she?
First openly bisexual member of the U.S. Senate. Non-religious, doesn't believe in God, never has. And she's not even a Democrat. She's an independent. But her first line of business,
she's not both a Democrat and a Republican? I thought you said she was bicameral. Okay.
Bisexual. We don't know what gender she's with at this point.
Is she in the House of Representatives and the Senate as well?
Well, she was a congresswoman. She's filling that position out, and then she's going to be a senator starting in January.
Well, there we go.
But congratulations to...
She's bifurcated.
To Colonel Martha McSally. At least there's some sanity there in Arizona, and I'm glad that the governor pointed that to him. Speaking of Washington, could we possibly have a...
It's a government shutdown!
I love that. There's some progress made overnight, don't you know? The Senate GOP is drafting a stopgap spending bill that will fund the government until February. Did your eyes just glaze over, Bruce?
Well,
Are you into this?
It's not going to be a continuing resolution. We're going to have a deal on Friday. We're going to have
working
a border wall.
Well, yesterday the Republicans offered $1.6 billion for border fencing, and the Democrats rejected even that.
But do you know that even Sack of Durbin, as I like to call him,
yes,
he said that he would be in favor of a quote-unquote physical barrier. But he just won't say the word wall, the four-letter word wall.
Why are they hung up on that?
Because it's Trump. Because it's giving Trump the symbolic victory.
So is it there? Yeah. Is the money there?
We'll see what happens. Too early to say, sorry. Thank you.
He said it's too early to say.
It's too early to say.
But there was talk, though, yesterday of that President Trump and Sarah Sanders, you know, officials in the White House, has asked every agency to find money in their departments to fund the wall so that taxpayers do not have to pay for
President
it.
Obama,
we have other ways that we can get to that $5 billion that we will work with Congress.
I'm sorry. President Obama did the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they found money elsewhere.
They did, and that's what hopefully they're going to try to do to end this. Let's get the latest and welcome back to the program. It has been a while. Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. So what is the latest on the possible government shutdown?
Well, they are working on this and negotiating back and forth on border wall funding. We have until December 21st at 11:59:59, and the government could shut down, but this would just be a partial shutdown.
Right. So it would affect how many employees? They're saying 400,000?
Approximately. And what would happen is you would see essential personnel go to work. The main issue here, of course, we know is border wall funding. And the president saying that it looks like from what we've seen from the president from the White House, he's willing to negotiate. The question is, will the House and Senate be able to get something together in time? But, yeah, essential personnel would have to report. So those TSA agents, they would still be on the job at the airports. So you're going somewhere for Christmas, no worries there. They'd still be there. They just wouldn't necessarily get paid until all this is over. We do know that that they are working on it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he's seeming kind of mystified as to why House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi would want to wrestle with government funding issues, right at this moment. And he believes that the incoming Speaker Pelosi doesn't really have much room to make a deal at this point. But really, this is the president's last-ditch effort to be able to get this money. He wants the $5 billion for a down payment on a border wall. And with Democrats taking control of the House come January, they're not going to be in the mood to deal.
Well, he doesn't need $5 billion to get something going, right? I mean,
no,
something
not
less
at
than
all.
That. Yeah. And it's interesting. Everybody's working during the shutdown, or a lot of people are. So a shutdown really isn't a shutdown. Treason isn't really treason. Words are such strange things to
aren't
me.
They?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible we're hearing from my senior Capitol Hill producer over there, Chad Pergram, saying it's possible the Senate could try to get some kind of interim spending bill. You've heard of them. They're called continuing resolutions. Mm-hmm. And that's as soon as today, and that would fund the remaining bills that are outstanding through February 8th. So that would kick it into the new year. But again, at this point, remember, we would have divided government, and it becomes even more difficult to make a deal. The only exception would be if the president were to come back to Democrat and say, we really have a fix for these illegal immigrants who were brought here by the parent, you know, through no fault of their own, so-called dreamers. That could happen. But again, I mean, the clock is ticking. And we had a government shutdown earlier in the year, January 20th. It lasted 3 days over a lot of the same kinds of issues, and they were able to come together and at least okay, we're going to work on these issues.
But that's
forward.
The one that the Democrats wound up getting blamed for, right? I'm trying to
Absolutely,
remember.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember my shutdowns here. And
what shutdown are you on, Bruce?
Well, back
you're a little bit older
back
than
in
me.
14, I think. You know, at the end of the year, it always happens. But I just was a little bit concerned. Everybody talks about the political fallout of a shutdown. You're going to blame the Republicans for it, but there's not another election for 2 years. Am I missing something here?
No, you're not. And that's the reason why I think that the possibility of a shutdown is real, because this is a lame duck Congress. Some of them are packing up and going home. The big heavy hitters, the big players like House Speaker Paul Ryan, Senator Jeff Flake, and Bob Corker, Congressman Trey Gowdy, Daryl Issa, these big names that you hear about that usually try to get stuff done. They're cleaning out their offices. They're not. They didn't run for re-election, so that makes a big difference too. They don't have a dog in this fight. They don't. They're just going home. So that, coupled with the fact that this is a lame duck, I think that a shutdown is possible. There was also, by the way, another shutdown in February of last year that happened while people were sleeping. That lasted about 9 hours, and then the president signed a longer-term bill, but he did it holding his nose. He was not happy about it. But here we are. It is now what. 3 days away.
Yeah.
I'm imagining they may shut down the government briefly, a partial shutdown, and then somehow come up with a Christmas miracle like on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they're off. All the workers are off because even Trump, the Grinch, as I understand it, he's
going on a 16-day vacation.
But he lets everybody off on Monday. It's a tradition, but he had to do it. So they're not even working on Monday anyway.
Well, all right, let's move on to General Flynn's sentencing hearing and how it was delayed. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but what could he have done differently, he and his attorneys? Because I felt like the prosecutors were even trying to throw him a lifeline in front of the judge.
Really, they were. It was so fascinating to watch, because usually when a plea situation happens, you go in for a sentencing, it's all done. I mean, the papers are signed, everybody's on the same page, and we all were watching the producers sending, you know, emails back out, dribbling and drabbing. First of all, it started late, and then it seemed to start kind of like in a normal fashion with Judge Sullivan asking Michael Flynn, did he understand what he was doing, and so on. And then it took a turn, and the judge excoriated Michael Flynn for lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak during that interview in January 2017. At one point, turned to the prosecutors and asked if he could be charged with treason.
Oy.
And then suggested to Flynn that he may not leave there without incarceration. So at that point, they took a recess.
Wow.
Everybody
went
to their corner.
Yeah, do you think the judge was unprepared or vindictive? Or was he trying to make a name for
all
himself?
All of the above.
That is a very good question.
Everything.
I can't speak to the judge's motives, except I just, as a journalist looking at it, saying, okay, generally these things are worked out. Michael Flynn walked in there thinking he was going to get probation. There was no reason to doubt that. The special counsel even suggested no jail time. And then the judge kind of just went rogue. His reasoning for that, I don't know if he had additional information that we don't have. But he gave them, I believe, 90 days to come back to the table and with a status update. And this is not over for Michael Flynn. He has to surrender his passport. He can't travel outside the Washington area more than, I believe, 50 miles. Mm. It was a no-good, very bad day for
and
Michael
Flynn.
And
he has to watch a driver's education movie from now until March.
And he has to watch Bambi.
Yeah, Bambi.
And he can't go hunting.
Here's the thing. You know, if I'm the judge, I'm a federal judge. I'm a big deal. I'm watching all these pundits, you know, like... who's the guy with the Count Dracula hair slicked back?
And Judge Napolitano.
Napolitano.
Hey.
I'm watching Judge Jeanine.
Yeah.
I'm watching Judge Jeanine with the cute dimple and talking like this, and I should be on the Supreme Court. I'm watching all these judges all over the place. I'm the federal judge, and I've got a memo that came in here from Flynn's attorney saying,
there's prosecutorial misconduct. Well, I'm the judge who's known for nailing the prosecutors. So you want to nail the prosecutor, Judge General Flynn, who saved us from the Al Qaeda? Okay, roll the dice right here with me. Maybe I'll give you some time, zero time, and award you damages or something like that. So he wants. Then the judge goofed up too because he thought he was still a foreign agent, and he wasn't. Oops, Judge Emily Latella. So, you know.
Well, Rachel, what does this all mean for President Trump?
At this point, I don't think this means much. The whole Michael Flynn situation doesn't mean a whole lot right now. We'll have to see how it develops. Had he just gotten probation and just walked away, I think it would have been better for the president, but I don't necessarily think this is a horrible development either. I think it just needs to play out. Everyone's just grown very weary of this special counsel investigation. I think both sides are kind of just feeling beaten down by it.
It's exhausting.
It truly is. It's been going on for about 19 months. And keep in mind, when Michael Flynn was interviewed in January 2017, there was no official Russia probe. Mueller hadn't even been appointed until the following May.
It wasn't until May that they really turned the screws on Michael Flynn. So, because Comey, even in, was it December of 16, said we should drop this whole thing regarding Flynn. So, it's really murky. Maybe stuff will come out in the next 3 months. Rachel, as long as we have you here, I mean, I saw yesterday in Special Report, Brett Baer was interviewing Senator Scott about this criminal justice reform bill, but they really didn't get into the specifics on why this is going to lower recidivism. And do you have any idea what's involved in this program? And Trump signs it. I mean, it sounds like a liberal to me, Trump. He should be embraced by the Democratic Party. It did pass the Senate.
Oh, well, Cory Booker loved it.
So what's in the bill there that's going to remedy things? Because you had hardliners like Senator Cotton saying, you really shouldn't allow, all the things that are being allowed in this bill.
I know that it gives discretion to more judges. Judges had been under this, mandatory sentencing. So that would change some of that. It's also supposed to boost rehab efforts in prisons to stop that recidivism, as you mentioned. The House is expected to pass it. The president is expected to sign it. It's got bipartisan. And I was thinking the same thing. You know, this doesn't sound like a Republican proposal, but President Trump is not your, cookie-cutter Republican. We know that.
All right. Rachel Sutherland, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. It's always great to have you on the program. We appreciate it. And she joined us on our turnkey. She appreciated it, too. But she had to
You're
go.
Welcome. That's my best Rachel. So, did you notice she mentioned her producer, this Chad Pegram, I think, or something?
Yeah.
He's occasionally on Fox News, and he doesn't look like a TV guy, but they go to him because he knows everything.
Yeah.
He's like really the straw that stirs the drink.
That's
there.
Good.
He knows every single thing that's going on.
It's a great team. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
So today's our big Christmas party. And why aren't you going? Why aren't you wearing festive red or green?
First of all, I'm a Jew. Secondly, I'm not a member of this tribe either. I have not matriculated at the University of Dan Proft. Okay?
Why do I keep forgetting you're Jewish and I say that to you all the time?
It's because I look so Nordic. Yes.
I had you pegged for a Swede all these years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought Jacobson was Jewish.
I always get Hanukkah cards.
And then they look
Michael,
at you.
Michael Medved, God bless him, he used to always tell me Mazel Tov. And Mazel Tov. Like, I'm Episcopalian. Sorry. That's always that uncomfortable conversation that you have with people.
Well, Episcopalian is about the most Jewish of the Christian denominations these days. I mean, seriously.
But
you have to be in favor of gay marriage if you're Episcopalian, right?
There's a lot of same-sex marriages.
All the priests are gay.
No, right? Not all of them. Absolutely not all of them. We have one that is and
there's
one that isn't.
There's one that isn't. There's one.
No, but no. In my time, we've had a lot of female priests who are not lesbians. They're, have husbands. It's, and then I love the ones that are married to the women of their dreams. It's fine. I try to keep it separate, and they keep it separate too. Okay?
What do you mean separate? Are you homophobic?
I'm not homophobic.
What?
No, I'm not. I may excommunicate you
from the Episcopalian Church right
no,
now.
No, that's all right. Let's move on. Okay. Justin, well, we have a grab bag, and I don't know if it's a white elephant gift or is it a real serious grab bag. Justin, did you get a gift for the party?
No, I didn't, and it's kind of sad because I think there's like two people out there that are actually going to do it.
You didn't bring a gift?
No, why not? It's voluntary. I'm not into that.
Oh, but you are wearing a sweater. Wait, can we see your sweater? See, now I sound like a creepy old lady again.
That is cute.
Well,
that's the Mitch Trubisky sweater. That's the same sweater he wore during the press conference after the Packers game. Yeah.
Is that a Christmas cat?
Yeah, it has a little cat on it freaking out with Christmas lights.
Oh, does it light up?
It used to, and then I broke it.
Oh.
Well, let's plug Justin back in.
Okay. And see what happens to
Justin
the cat.
Justin unplugged.
We want to thank our business benefactors because you guys are stepping up to the plate to help us reach our goal to feed 3,000 children, adults this holiday season in Haiti. Remke Garage, thank you. Bath Fitter of Chicagoland. Job Site Fabrication and Repair. Bridges Restaurant, Michigan City. Wow, National Catholic Society. It goes on and on.
C.H. Hansen in Naperville. Joseph and Sons Mechanical Inc. Kevin S. Doherty Insurance.
The list goes on and on. You want to be like the cool people.
Advanced Design Studio, Waterleaf Women's Clinic.
You want to be a business benefactor. And what that is.
The Angler's Outlet.
I love that. I'm angling to shut your mouth. Yeah. What the business benefactor program is.
AmericanEagle.com.
A one-time donation of $2,500, tax deductible. The money goes to food for the poor. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you 40 60-second commercials that air Monday through Friday right here on AM 560. It's really the best way to get information about your business out to like-minded customers. So to become a business benefactor, who do we call, Bruce?
Not Ghostbusters. You call Ann Jeanette Natkowski directly at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the business benefactor program.
And we thank you in advance for your generosity.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. When you've got questions, he always has an answer. It's Sean Hannity. This afternoon at 2, right before Joe Walsh at 5, on AM 560. The Answer.
Gosh, Christmas is less than a week away.
The goose is getting fat. Please to put a penny in the old man's hat.
Oh, nice.
If you haven't got a penny, a hay penny will do. If you haven't got a hay penny, God bless you.
Oh, that voice belongs to the one and only Bruce Wolf, who's sitting in this week and a few slots next year, sitting in for Dan Prof. So thank you for coming in. And happy Hanukkah.
It's a minor Jewish holiday, and it's already 3 weeks past.
Did you get my card?
Certainly. It's from the Jacobsons, that Jewish family with the blonde hair.
And the Swedish Episcopalians.
Tall.
Yes, yes.
Very tall.
Well, some federal government employees are hoping that they get a paycheck this holiday season.
It affects my whole family. I'm the only one that works in my family.
Make a deal. Make a deal now. Don't wait.
Are they working a deal? Are they getting, is this just shut down theater, as Ed Morrissey called it in his article that you could see today at hotair.com? And with that, we welcome him back to the program. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Doing great.
Yeah, so is this just shut down theater, or do you think there'll be a stopgap measure that they'll reach before December 21st at 11:59:59?
Yeah, I think that they're going to try to get this thing pushed off. There's apparently an effort now to have what they call a minibus, which is a smaller omnibus or a short-term omnibus, and to push this off until the first week of February. And I suspect that nobody's really got the stomach for this, even though this is actually the perfect time to have a shutdown because nobody's paying attention. I don't think that this standoff is going to sustain itself for very much longer.
But what about the border wall funding? I lived in El Paso and in Tucson, and certain parts of the border there's already walls in place. And I've never wanted a border wall, but then the story of the 7-year-old Guatemalan girl just tugs at everybody's heart that she died once she crossed into the U.S. was not our fault. Still, we're still waiting on the autopsy reports, but there wasn't a wall in place where she crossed. And now I think that we need a wall now more than ever. So will we get any funding for that ever?
There's apparently some funding already $1.6 billion in the previous or in the previously agreed appropriation, although that hasn't passed yet either. There was a baseline of $1.3 billion. There was $300 million added to it. Obviously, that's not going to build a whole lot of wall, but there's at least some of that funding that's existing in this. And my guess is that we're not going to see too much more of that in this appropriation. I think that the lines were drawn too starkly, and after the fight that erupted in the Oval Office between Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, everybody's positions hardened. And frankly, I think Republicans don't want to be blamed for a shutdown, so Trump just doesn't have the support on Capitol Hill to go into a shutdown.
So, Ed, basically I've been plagiarizing from Judge Michael McCasey, who was on Fox News last night and criticized the judge in the Michael Flynn case, Judge Emmett Sullivan, or is it Emily Letella, who said never mind about treason. But he characterized the judge's behavior as bizarre and essentially said the judge was off his rocker. However, we've got a tweet from Matt Jones, who follows us, listening to the show, and he says, you guys are missing something. Sullivan is not an idiot. He knows there's exculpatory evidence that was not provided to Flynn when Contreras, judge number one who was removed, took the guilty plea. Flynn knows it all and must testify. Can you help us make a little sense out of this?
Well, to be frank with you, I think you're right about stealing from Judge Jimmy Casey, because he's a great source. So if you're gonna steal from anybody, steal from Judge McCasey. In fact, I think I might make that my New Year's resolution. Anything I steal, I'm gonna steal from Judge McCasey.
You know, Ed, you take it from me. I take it from you, Casey. You don't get charged with the plagiarism. Okay.
I like this. Yeah. This is a great deal, Bruce, and I really appreciate you doing this for me. Thanks for taking a hit for me on this.
Ed, I'm doing a solid for you, and I expect. Weren't you supposed to be on vacation the rest of the year or something like this, Ed?
No. Oh, I did my vacation earlier, so I'm giving everybody else a vacation.
Right.
I'm taking the slow time, which is great. You know, this is the way you should work it out.
All right. Now that you've had a chance to think in the back of your mind, what the heck is going on you've been dealing with this folderol on Mike McCasey. What the heck is going on?
You know, I'm with Judge McCasey on this. I don't know what the purpose of bringing up treason was. There's been six treason prosecutions over the last 100 years, five of which were regarding propagandists and people who actually put on the enemy uniform in World War II, and one of which is somebody who attacked U.S. Army troops during a coal miner uprising in 1922. This is not a treason situation. This might be a corruption situation, certainly a FARA violation situation. It's not treason, and I think it's absurdly inflammatory for a judge to try to make that case in the middle of a sentencing hearing where the prosecutors are asking for no jail time.
No.
I would be surprised if Emmett Sullivan stays on this case. And I agree with the person on Twitter who said that Judge Emmett Sullivan is not an idiot. He isn't an idiot. I think what happened was that Mike Flynn's attorneys tried to argue leniency by saying that the FBI had entrapped him, that the FBI had sandbagged him, and I think Sullivan was angry with that. And there was a remark that says, I've never knowingly accepted a guilty plea from an innocent person, and I'm not going to start today. And I think what he was trying to do was he was trying to make sure that Mike Flynn allocated to the crime fully and honestly, but I think he went way overboard, and I wouldn't be surprised that in the next 4 months, there isn't a motion for another judge change on this case, and I'm not sure that the prosecutors would oppose that. I think they were probably very surprised by what happened in court yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if you see General Flynn's demeanor, he was a little smiling, relaxed at the beginning, and then that quickly shut down when the judge was scolding him. But do you think that my question I wanted to ask you, what do you think all of this means for President Trump? I mean, now we have to wait until March 13th, and Michael Flynn can't leave, you know, within a 50-mile area of Washington, D.C. He has to surrender his passport. I mean, I feel like he's already been kind of convicted.
Well, he has. He pled guilty, and they're going to accept a guilty plea. So at least technically speaking, he has been convicted. So that's part of the process. I think that was overboard as well, and I suspect that there's going to be some motion to grant some relief on that. I think that what this means for Donald Trump is probably no different than what it meant for Donald Trump the day before yesterday, too.
Okay.
Michael Flynn's been cooperating. Whatever Robert Mueller is getting from him is satisfying Robert Mueller. I don't know if that really has to do with Donald Trump or if it has to do more with this issue with Michael Flynn's consultancy, which seemed to be lobbying for foreign governments without notifying anybody. And if he just wants to fully flesh that out and convict the other people who were part of that, there was his two business partners were indicted on Monday, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And so that might be all that there is to this, but we're not going to know for a while.
Do you think that before March, the judge was waiting on this because finally the P tape will be revealed before March? I mean, you know, you think about it.
Oh, let's hope not.
Think about where this.
Nobody
I mean,
needs
when
to
the
see
liberals,
that.
When the it's you know the Rob Reiners of the world, you know, all everybody, every Anderson Cooper, everybody else. Oh, this is finally going to get Trump. This is the thing that's going to do it. And of course, now the latest thing is the whole thing about the campaign finance violation. I mean, my whole take on this is let's wait till Trump finishes his second term, and then when he's like 89 years old, we can have the trial that sends him to jail. And he'll love it because he'll be getting all the attention in the world at that point. It'll be the trial of the 21st century.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that if all that Robert Mueller comes out of this is with some campaign finance violations, I don't think this goes anywhere. I think after everybody had all of their expectations raised by the Rob Reiners of the world that Robert Mueller was going to convict him of, you know, the Judge Crater disappearance along with every other mystery that happened in the last 100 years. I think if it just comes back with, well, he didn't report these things as campaign finance donations, it's not really going to go anywhere. The House might do some sort of censure or something like that. I don't know if that's where Robert Mueller is actually going, and I don't think any of us are going to really know that until the report comes out. But I think that is coming up soon, and so I don't think that the mystery is going to last for a whole lot longer.
And you wrote a lovely article about Charles Krauthammer's legacy, and tell us what he meant to you.
You know, Charles Krauthammer, I had the honor of meeting him one time. It was really early on in my blogging career. And it's just such a gentleman, and he was somebody who was very committed to his viewpoint, but was very honorable about it, and he argued passionately, but without losing the humanity that should go along with politics, because politics is basically the art of interpersonal relationships in public policy. And Charles Krauthammer really understood that, and I don't think I ever read anything from Charles Krauthammer that was unfair, that was a cheap shot. He was somebody who thought deeply, who felt deeply, and it came across in his writing. And I think he was just an amazing person, and he will be sorely missed. And his son just put out a book. He just edited a collection of his father's writings, and it looks like it's the best of Charles Krauthammer, and I'm sure that this thing's going to sell well.
Yeah, second that, and I got a chance to talk to him twice. Oh. Did you ever get a chance to talk
to him?
Yeah,
we interviewed him once.
Yeah, and, you know, a couple of times. And
well, I just loved him on Special Report.
Well, right.
I mean,
you
it
always
was must
waited.
See television.
Sometimes I'd fast forward to that. You know, I like Mara Eliason, but I know what, you know, yeah. Just fast forward to the Krauthammer part. But, you know, when you've got a rapier wit like that, you know, as you and I both have, Ed. So you don't have to hit people over the head with, you know, a hammer, pun intended. You don't. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Scalia, who, you know, he'd be cross-examining some kid in the crowd who would be trying to challenge him. And I remember the story was, and this young woman runs out of the room because Scalia says, "Don't leave. I just, you know, take me on." And yeah, if you do it in a humane way, like you and I do, and don't take the cheap shot, and you've got the wit to rely on, you know, that's the great redeeming quality about Krauthammer. And he is sorely missed.
It was, and one last thing I'll say about Krauthammer. There's a lot of intelligent people in our business. There are not so many people who are wise, and I think Charles Krauthammer was one of the wise.
Well said. Ed Morrissey, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to read his article at hotair.com. Listen to his podcast as well. He's also a columnist for The Week. So thank you, Ed Morrissey, for joining us. We appreciate it and have a great holiday season.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You've made the switch and it feels so good. You've switched to Chicago's morning answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, it's not too late for you to come to our Christmas party. It starts at noon. Have yourself a hot cup of cocoa. Maybe get a grab bag gift. I don't know.
I feel like an outsider.
You're invited, though.
That's so nice of you.
If not, you can check
I'm your plus one at the Christmas party today.
My plus one. That's good. Are you on Instagram?
No, I'm old. I'm on Facebook. I don't even look at Facebook anymore. But,
oh, I don't.
But,
you're a huge Twitter person.
Right.
You
realize
tweet
that,
your face off. Tweet me like I want to be tweeted. That's what you see.
It's gotten me into trouble. It hasn't done me any good.
You've been blocked by people.
That's my goal, is to be blocked by people.
You know who I'm blocked by?
Who?
Karen Lewis.
Really?
And that's the only person that's blocked me, and that's because of Dan Prof. Dan.
You mean guilt by association?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, really?
Dan said something that she didn't like, and she blocked him, and then she blocked me. I don't like that. Okay. But if you go on Instagram, there's a thing called Instant Grannies, because, you know, what's old is new.
I think you have to learn to love the skin that you're in today.
And you should.
There is beauty at every age.
She didn't put her teeth in.
We don't have an expiration date.
Sorry.
I don't mind her skin. What? It's her teeth that are missing.
There is beauty at every age. We don't have an expiration date.
You're right about that.
Is that dentures?
I think that might be Michael McDonald talking right now.
You don't know me, but I'm your bra.
Oh, you do a really good Michael McDonald.
You know what I'm doing?
To the streets right now.
I'm doing
Amy.
It. Yeah. I'm doing you doing
Michael,
McDonald. But no, there's a big business in this because old people, you guys have cash.
When people retire from their jobs, they are not retiring from life. It's a new chapter.
The older audience has more disposable income. They have more time. They're, in many cases, a lot more tech savvy than you might think.
Yeah, a little. Like, you know what an aux cord is. And Bluetooth. And
that's because most senior citizens have
but
blue
here's the
teeth.
Deal. Look at some of these women. They're not. That's not. I know. I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position because I know you're a devoted husband. But those ladies are
She's
not bad looking.
Attractive.
Well, they're in their 80s.
Yeah.
And you said something. You
low
said
80s.
Instagrandpa. Yeah.
Yes.
You should start that.
What are they
doing? Do what they're doing.
What are they doing?
They're wearing high-end clothing, fashion clothes.
Oh, so they're advertising on Instagram.
Yes, and they're making, their honey's making money in their 80s.
Because here's the reason that they never target older people.
Why?
The advertisers, and it's always 25-54, supposedly, is because older people just buy the same things over and over and over again. So it's the younger people who are fickle.
Well, change your ways and be an Instagrampa.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. Come on, Michael McDonald. Go ahead.
There you go. Now, you've done it, Justin Kosick, our technical producer. All right, go, Bruce.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. All right, take it away. Dueling Michael McDonald's. Go ahead. Go.
But no, I don't know the words.
Yeah.
But you.
A television
Wait, we're getting to the refrain. Here we go. Here we go.
Taking it to the streets.
That is.
I think I just got a hernia.
I think you just killed Justin's cat. And that, by the way, is actually Justin's cat. He recorded that at home. He was pulling his cat's tail.
That's his cat actually in a live performance.
That is his cat. Do it again, Justin. His real cat. What were you doing to your cat?
I think the cat was gargling.
No, Justin, were you pulling your cat's tail?
No, I wouldn't harm my cat. She just doesn't like being loved up on, and I love loving up on cats, so.
Tell us about it.
So, she was,
Hey, another cat, have you seen a Gladiator movie? Yeah. Gee.
another reason why Justin is single.
Yes.
I like to love up on my cat.
Hybrid of a cat and Justin.
What's your cat's name, Justin?
I have three cats. But oh, that cat's name is Marley. We took her off the streets, and it was probably a mistake.
Let her free. Just let her go. She loves you. She'll
it's
come
a
back.
Reggae cat.
If not, it was not meant to be, right? And then what are the other two names?
We got Neutron and Cassie. Neutron and Cassie are very low key. They're like, you can pet me, that's fine. But Marley does not want to be touched. Don't even look at her, or she'll like freak out like that.
Mm. I had no idea. I'm sorry. Processing this right now. All right.
I'm still out of breath from the Michael McDonald.
Yeah,
punk.
Did you pull a hammy over there?
And I'm out of breath. I think somebody checked my blood pressure.
Okay. Yesterday, President Trump did something that he has been promising to do, and that is banning bump stocks.
We're knocking out bump stocks. I've told the NRA, I've told them, bump stocks are gone.
You know, can I say something?
Yes,
Mr. President,
please.
I want to act like Seinfeld did to Kramer. Remember when Kramer said, and you know, they write it off, Jerry. And Jerry goes, you don't know what a write off is. And Kramer then says, yeah, but they do. Mr. President, I'll bet you don't even know what a bump stock is.
No, and he knows what a bump stock is.
Nobody knows what a bump stock is.
Yes, we do.
No, here, Kevin Williamson, one of my favorite writers, okay, for National Review a while back. This is after the Parkland shooting. It may have been after that one. The New York Times reported that regulations were going to be issued to ban so-called bump stocks, which convert semi-automatic guns into automatic weapons like those used last year in the massacre of concertgoers in Las Vegas. But Kevin Williamson says a bump stock does not convert a semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon, and there were no automatic weapons used in the Las Vegas shooting. Bump firing is a nifty but largely useless rapid-firing technique, not a technology. Do you want me to go on
here's the deal. Because the Las Vegas shooter was able to kill 58 people because he was able to fire off 1,100 rounds within 10 minutes because of bump stocks. Because it did turn 14 of his semi-automatic rifles into de facto machine guns. The reason why, so the acting AG signed off on it yesterday because he and President Trump, it's illegal because they fall under the definition of machine guns that are banned under federal
Apparently
law.
Apparently, you just didn't listen to what I said here.
This is the rule of the law, that these are machine guns, and that's banned under federal law. So anybody happy with this decision? I know one person who is Brian Claypool. He's an attorney, but he's also a survivor of the Las Vegas shooting.
Huge relief. This is a monumental move. There is no social utility for bump stocks in a civilized society.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. I'm relieved because we had to do something for gun safety. And I know we have a lot of Second Amendment gun owners and gun enthusiasts that listen to this show. And I want to hear from them because I don't know if they're pleased with this. I don't know if they're happy about this, if this is an infringement on their Second Amendment rights. What you have, if you own a bump stock, listen up. You have a 90-day period to turn your bump stock into the ATF or have it destroyed. So you can turn it in or destroy it somehow, some way. I don't know how the government's going to check on people who own bump stocks to see if they got rid of their bump stock, but that's what's happening. And are you a gun owner, Bruce?
I'm theoretical about everything. You know, I believe, you know, like the multiplication tables, I know of them. I'm in favor of smokers, even though I don't smoke myself. I always feel bad for them. I feel bad for the put upon, and gun owners are put upon. They're the discriminated against minority right now.
Well, President Obama, when he was in power, concluded in 2010 that he couldn't ban bump stocks without a law approved by Congress. But President Trump, he went around that, and he actually banned bump stocks yesterday, and I think we should give him his due. What do you think? 312-642-5600 is the turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Mike, who joins us from Joliet. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Amy. 2 points. As of now, they have not determined that a bump stock was actually used in Las Vegas. And the second point is that law that's going to be passed is so poorly written, I expect it to be turned over because it does not convert a weapon into a fully automatic weapon as defined by the law.
No, it turns it into a machine gun.
It doesn't, because a machine gun is one trigger pull will give you multiple bullets shot. About firing, you have to still pull the trigger every single time. It's still semi-automatic.
Do you own a bump stock, Mike?
I've shot them. I don't own one because I think they're stupid. But
why do you think they're stupid? Fire.
It's just they're not accurate. It's just a way to dump ammo. But my point was, you can bump fire with nothing. You can also use a belt loop of your pants or a rubber band or shoelaces.
You know, as Kevin Williamson says, beginning shooters who often have poor grips bump fire accidentally from time to time. And bump firing does not even require a semi-automatic weapon. You can bump fire a revolver if you work at it.
Well, there's 520,000 bump stocks that have been sold since 2010.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Rick, hold on one second. So they're going to have a hard time, I think, having these people turn in their bump stocks to ATF or to allegedly destroy them. Hey, Rick, you're on. Rick from Downers Grove. Good morning.
Hey, I was going to say, I actually made a little bump fire device for my AK, which I tried to sell, but I went through the process. I went to the ATF, and they sent it out to their technology branch, and they told me, no, you can't make it. So that was that. But it is. All it does is take your semi-auto, and it just racks the trigger on your finger. So it's not a full auto.
What do you use it for?
It's just fun. It's just fun to go out to a range that allows you to do that and just watch things, and just shoot up the targets very fastly.
Yeah, but if they get in the wrong hands, like the Las Vegas shooter, you can have 58 people dead.
Any gun.
58 people he picked up.
I know, but Amy, you think a criminal is going to worry? Is going to worry about these laws when he's buying his gun on the street to shoot up something or to rob somebody? They don't care. They just want to make it hard for law-abiding. Like, I'm not going to go out and shoot up a place, but I would love to have a bump stock because I just like going out and shooting up things.
You know, Rick,
in a ring.
You know what the problem is? Is that the liberals who are listening, because I'm basically a liberal.
The liberals are insane is what they are.
I know, because I'm a liberal at heart. I have to overcome my liberal tendencies, okay? I'm a reformed, guy. I listen to you and I say, why do you want to shoot things? Why do you have fun that way? Couldn't you just go bowling or perhaps look at trees or something like that?
Bird watching.
But I like target shooting. I'm a gun collector as well. I have a lot of guns, and I look at them like, none of these guns ever got up and shot anything up. I'll bet it's the person who owns the gun that does that. But the liberals don't like thinking that.
All right. Thanks, exactly. Rick, for your
phone call. Rick.
I was just wondering why it took President Trump 14 months to ban bump stocks after the Vegas shooting. Let's go to Tom, who joins us from Deer Park. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, good morning. This is a perfect example of why many of us that are advocates of the Second Amendment were extremely skeptical of candidate and now President Trump. What he's done is he's gone around the law, he's gone around the Constitution, and basically invented a statute that the ATF even agreed wasn't legal and is nonsensical. So what he's done now is made felons or potential felons out of law-abiding citizens, and it will have no impact on violent crime and mass shooting.
All right, Tom, I got two words for you, okay? Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, okay? Those are the two words. And if we had Hillary, we'd have Merrick Garland, who would uphold a law like this. Maybe this law is going to be thrown out.
The ban's going to face a legal challenge, the bump stock ban.
I don't dispute what you just said, Bruce. I don't dispute it one bit.
Right.
I'm just, two things are true, and what I said about Donald Trump, correct. That's all.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Tom.
I don't disagree. Thank you, Tom.
All right, let's go to Ralph. Oh, I haven't heard from Ralph in a few days. Here's Ralph and Rantoul. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Amy and Bruce. Hey, look, I'm an NRA life member, and I think if I were to draw the analogy between bump stock or, firearms and tattoos or something like that, bump stocks are like the eyeball tattoo of the body modification world. Maybe somebody wants to be able to go and do it. It's pretty dumb. All the other people are going to come and scream at me, but I'm a Second Amendment diehard, right? But here's the problem with this legislation. Depending on how it's written, it's got to be written very carefully. It should not go around any sort of statute, any law, because bump stocks, I think, are completely stupid. But
they don't actually convert a semi-auto to a fully auto. Yeah, you can flick your finger, and that's what they're designed for. They're designed to basically take the recoil of the weapon and make the reset on the trigger work so quickly that the next round comes right off very quickly. That's how the semi-auto shoots really, really quickly with these things. Yeah. Most ranges that have range officers do not allow this kind of rapid fire. So if you own a piece of property and you want to shoot up your old washing machine, these are the people who strap on these bump stock things and go out there and blast away at whatnot. It may be fun, but I think it's not necessary to have a bump stock and still have a rock solid Second Amendment.
All right. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph.
From lovely Rantoul. I drove by Rantoul a few weeks ago. Let's go to Dean, who joins us from Naperville. No, I did not.
Okay.
Did not.
Good morning. Say, you know, so I'm a gun owner, and I love to hunt. And this law really does not bother me so much. But what I will say is I don't think it really changes anything. It's not a bump stock issue. It's a morality issue. Go take a look. I don't know the exact number, but you're talking about a couple hundred thousand deer hunters in the woods in the state of Wisconsin this year. Zero murders. Zero.
But they use bump stocks to kill Bambi? I mean, rapid fire?
No. You're misunderstanding. I never said nobody uses bump stocks to hunt Bambi. What I'm saying is that...
Don't make me watch the movie.
But what I'm saying is that, again, you know, we're looking for reasons to stop all these horrific shootings. And again, you can take the bump stocks away. You can take all the guns away. And I don't think that's the answer to the issue. It's so much deeper than that. And as a society, we'd like to say, well, let's do away with everything. And now we've solved the problem. I mean, I don't know. I mean, why don't you see all these murders when guys are out in the woods and hunting? I mean, it's because true gun owners are not out looking to kill people. Okay. And I think that's where a lot of the argument comes into play.
All right. Thanks, Dean, for the phone call.
Yeah.
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Individual donors, people are helping make the holiday season a little merrier for those less fortunate. We have a list of people who have donated. Caroline, thank you, from Chicago. Thomas in Libertyville. Terry in Glenview. We've got James in Arlington Heights. Jeff in Wheaton. Dawn in Frankfurt. The list goes on and on with people who have made a commitment to help those less fortunate. We're partnered up with Food for the Poor again this year to help those in small remote villages in Haiti. I had the pleasure of going with Food for the Poor to Savan Cabritz, and it was, I mean, the level of poverty is just indescribable. It's hard not to cry, but the kids are so positive, and they're so happy to see you, and they're so appreciative of any food that you could bring. And that's what we did. We brought little trinkets of food, and then we bought, you know, bracelets and stickers, and they were so appreciative and so happy. And the Golden Goose was the soccer ball.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yes.
They love their soccer. But the reason why I bring up Savan Cabritz is because of your donations last year. Within 28 days, and I'm not making this up, because they went back to the same village. They re-interviewed the same family that I had met. Within 28 days, they had built an entire village. And the key is clean drinking water. They set up, you know, the little tubs on the roof, and it filters the water through. And they have water that is clean to drink. So we really appreciate the people that we just named. Thank you so much for helping out. If you want to help out, 844-862-HOPE. That's 844-862-4673. We're asking for a one-time donation of $80. With that, you will feed a child for a year and provide clean water for life. But we also have the Business Benefactor Program, Bruce.
Yes, and we certainly do. And here's how it works. with the program. Any business that makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Food for the Poor will receive 40 60-second commercials Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. on AM 560, The Answer. For a business that wants to be involved in this program, here's how you do it. Call sales manager Anjanette Netkowski directly at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
And we thank you in advance for your generosity.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
God's Plan. You know this song, God's Plan? Oh, boy. Bruce?
No, I don't.
You don't? I don't. It's by Drake. Are you familiar with Drake?
Drake is, what, about 3300 West, I think? Is that what it is? Drake, near Central Park.
That's good.
Am I right? Yeah, St. Louis, Drake, Central Park, something like that.
All right, listen up, folks. If you live in Hinsdale, Burr Ridge, Clarendon Hills, Darien, Oak Brook, and other municipalities, if you go to Hinsdale High School, District 86, which is Hinsdale Central, I believe, and Hinsdale South, you may no longer have football, swimming, wrestling, and other extracurricular activities, water polo as well, because it's payback time. Remember, during the last election, they had to vote whether or not they want to pass a $166 million bond referendum to pay for renovations at the two schools. Well, the people in the community voted it down. Why? Because it would have increased their property taxes, and it would have been this just, you know, state of the art complex that they really do not need. Well, I don't feel that they need there. I mean, those schools are very nice. You think your school's bad, Hinsdale Central, Hinsdale South? Why don't you go take a field trip to CPS high schools? Yeah. And you wouldn't even think about having a $166 million referendum.
Well, and...
But to take it out on the kids not having football next year, football is huge
These
schools.
Somebody, correct me if I'm wrong, at the Highland Park High Schools, they had only 4 kids show up for the football team this year. And, you know, that's, I don't think they, each kid could play 3 positions on each side of the ball. So,
well, that's not the case.
But that's not because of finances. That's because everybody's afraid that their kids are going to get chronic traumatic encephalopathy. But one of our listeners, Dan Proft, a young man, he wears aviation glasses.
You mean Dan of the Dan and Amy show?
Not familiar with it.
The high school grad in his Twitter profile?
He tweets, customary extortion play. Give us your money or your kids' sports get it. Any discussion of shaving personnel costs where the overwhelming majority of taxpayers' dollars are spent. Approximately 1/3 of teachers in Hinsdale 86 have compensation packages greater than $200,000 a year. Now, I was wondering if, is the Hinsdale School Board, are they going to shut down the national parks to, you know, because that's the play that's done over budgets when there's a budget impasse. And they get rid of the high school sports when you should be cutting, you know, the teachers' compensation packages. Now, to be fair, to be entirely fair, this is not salary alone. This includes, you know, pencils and supplies. No, it includes other things, pensions and other benefits. $200,000
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Just as an athlete, they used to hang this over our heads, too. I remember when, you know, we couldn't reach a referendum. You know, District 214, they say, oh, next year we're not going to have sports because we don't have any money. And that sports saved my life. If I didn't have sports, Bruce, I would be in jail. And I'm not making that up. I could have gone to the left or I could have gone to the right. And I chose going to the right because the right is always right.
So no, it was like Robert Frost, the road not taken.
No, because I was hanging out with some nefarious characters who got in trouble. And then I joined athletics and it changed everything. It made me more disciplined. I would, you know, have a set schedule for when I would practice. Then it'd make me schedule for when I would do homework. You know, it was just, it helped it gave me a reason to live.
You know what this town needs?
This really sounds...
You know, no, athletics is great, but you know what this town needs?
What?
A boys band. That's what we need, because we got trouble right here in the Windy City. That starts with T, that rhymes with P, that stands for pool.
It's a capital W. You said Windy City. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
But don't take it out on the kiddies, and that's why this frustrates me, because this is just
band too.
A game that they're playing. But kids, they don't process things like adults do, and they should be ashamed of themselves. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to James, who joins us from Westmont. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, you two. Bruce, lovely to hear you again.
Thank you.
No problem. My wife works for a bus company that provides the transport. They're talking about cutting all the bus service as well, except for, like, special needs. But one of the funny things, like, Dan is right, though, that this is really an extortion racket. So they could, you know, oh, well, now that we didn't pass this referendum because we need to build a new building, which they don't, now we're going to take it out on everybody else. And
well, they're taking it out on the kids.
Yeah, well, there also was no mention. My wife actually got a copy of it as well. There was no mention of a significant staff cutting. It was very, like, you know, it was more like support staff, like the hall monitors, let's just put, that's what I call them.
Sure.
The adults that they, you know, hire to stay in the halls and tell kids to get out of the hall. So it's really not like major faculty or anything like that. It's really just the support staff that they're going to cut. But that's very minor comparison to, like,
how about trimming, you know, the superintendent's salary as well?
Right.
You know, I'm not just talking about the teachers,
thank you,
the superintendents, the administrators.
The phone call. Yeah. And so, just so you know, the board voted on Monday to eliminate these three sports and to cut certain positions. And the parents even say, this one parent, Robert Hogan, he said, I hope the threat of the cuts will generate more support for the referendum. So this is such a Chicago move right here. You don't go along with me, you're going to have hell to pay. Let's go to Jim, who joins us from Aurora. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I'm a contractor, and I also was a school board president for 5 years, many years ago. But we just did a job for Hinsdale Middle School, and I think the school board should invite everybody out and look at what they did there. It's the most ridiculous overspending I've ever seen in my life.
What did they
and
get
I
done?
I work in a lot of schools.
Right. Well, what is it? What did they do?
Well, you've got the hallways are three stories high with huge light fixtures in them. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, it's aesthetically pleasing. The children need a nice place to be hazed in the hallways. No, you're right about that.
Thanks, Jim.
Here's a story in the DuPagePolicyJournal.com. Is that owned by the Tribune or something like that? Is that the Sun-Times, the DuPagePolicyJournal.com?
Does Dan own it?
No, Dan is our listener. He's our listener who tweets to us. This is the DuPagePolicyJournal.com. Are you trying to tie all these threads together here? Is this all like...
Well, just what does it say, Bruce?
No, Bruce Law, the district superintendent, makes $203,000 for 9 months.
Oh.
$342,000 a year.
Yeah, they could take some
compensation.
That is owned by Dan, by the way. I'm right. But yeah, no, it's thank God that Dan's here and his papers are here so that we can know this information. It is ridiculous. And now you have this shakedown, which is unbelievable. Let's go to Mike, who joins us from Yorkville. Good morning, Mike.
Bruce, Amy, thanks for just taking my call. Just
sure.
You know, I call it the Chicagoland shakedown. Has anybody not noticed in the news all these school districts all coming together in consortium and saying, oh, all of a sudden our contracts are up, we need money? It was like one spot hit, like up in Geneva, and then it spread to a whole bunch of other ones.
Yeah, Palatine and Framed almost went on strike.
You know what, Mike? Sure. I agree with you to a point. I forgot who the writer is for National Review in the magazine, did a lengthy story. It's not a one-size-fits-all proposition. Yeah, I'd say in Illinois, you know, there's a lot of overspending on salaries for both teachers and administrators and compensation packages. But in certain pockets of the country, the teachers, in fact, I know this is heresy.
What?
Are underpaid in certain pockets of the country.
This is Hinsdale,
but not here.
Not here.
No, I didn't say
and
here.
And what makes me sick, too, so here you got Sean Kelly and Hayden Waters, they're both defensive linemen at Hinsdale Central. Now they're going to go out and lobby voters to support the referendum. So there is anybody on the other side teaching Sean Kelly and Hayden Waters about what that means if that $166 million referendum is passed, what that's going to mean to their parents' paychecks and maybe to their future and to their college fund? It's just brainwashing. Let's go to Margo, who joins us from the hotspot. That's Burr Ridge. Hi, Margo. How are you?
Hi, Amy. That was a great point you just made. These kids are not thinking about their inheritance and, you know, where it's going, all down the property tax bill. But here's a funny thing that happens. Every time I live in the district, my kids went to that school in the 181. What, every time a referendum fails, then the board immediately institutes a study, which costs over $70,000. And the study consists of phoning up residents whose property taxes are going to be fun, and saying, well, you didn't vote for the referendum. What would make you have voted for the – well, let's see. If we told you that the school was a fire trap, could we have the new school? So obviously this time the answer that went is, well, if we get rid of the football program, would you vote for the referendum? I mean, that's what they do. They probe until they find out what would have made you vote for the thing that you didn't vote for. I'm serious. I've had the calls. That's exactly what they do. And then the next time around, when they're trying to get the thing passed, the person who calls you says, well, you know it's a fire trap. That's why we have to build the second middle school. You know, and now they've built yet another middle school since I've lived here. And it is overblown. It is ridiculous. The one they are getting rid of was only about 40 years old. The minute they finish paying off the millions of property, you know, the bond to pay for that thing, the minute it was done, they started lobbying to tear it down and build the one they just built.
You know, Margo, studies have shown, teachers, they always get, they get these step increases. They get increases in salary because they get more education, like master's degrees. But the master's degrees don't really help them teach any better. No study that shows that helps them. It's just all status, and you need to get these things in order to get a bigger salary. But it really doesn't help the consumer, who is the student. And that's what happens when you have government running things.
And they say that the cuts are going to take effect until the board has fixed the facilities. Oh, come on. Let's go to Dave, who joins us from Downers Grove. Dave says he has a solution. Yeah. What is the solution, Dave?
You know, automation's been cutting a lot of jobs over the years. Why don't we automate teaching and have one teacher be broadcast to multiple classrooms and just have cheap teacher's aides in each classroom to explain what the teacher's saying?
You know what, Dave, here, just if I may amend that, because I'm brainstorming with you right now, why don't we have it that the kids can go to a McDonald's where there's a kiosk where they can get a burger and a lesson at the same time? Burger and a lesson. And as a matter of fact, we give the kids a French fry. It dispenses to them every time they give an answer correctly. Yes.
That sounds good to me, too.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, David, for the phone call.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Hey, you know, you still have time to go to our Christmas party. Borrow Justin's
sweater.
Christmas sweater with
a
cat on it.
He's wearing the Mitch Trubisky red illuminating Christmas sweater. Yes.
Yeah, but the lights broke. I guess he went Saturday night.
Does Justin throw the deep out? Well, I just wonder because
I don't know what that means. A deep out?
You know what a deep out is?
I know the hook and ladder. I know the Statue of Liberty.
You know what? The hook and ladder is actually the hook and lateral. People call it the hook and ladder. It's not really a fireman's play. It's a lateral.
Well,
it goes back, but people—it's a misnomer. Yeah. But I understand that. Is it a shovel pass or a shuffle pass?
Right.
Right.
Well, if you listen to our station, you heard the Boca Raton Bowl.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that's funny. The Boca Raton.
It's interesting
Bowl
that people
was
are
on last night because we are the home of your NIU Huskies.
Oh, I thought it was amongst 65-year-olds.
No,
the Boca Bowl. Yeah.
No, okay. The Boca Bowl. I found out the Iowa Hawkeyes are going to be in the Outback Bowl. That's in Tampa.
Right.
What about your favorite teams, Bruce?
The Bears are going to be in the Super Bowl.
But breaking down the Boca Raton Bowl will be Chet Kopic, who joins us at 8:38.
He's driving in right now, and he's going, I don't know. was.
What am I doing?
Amy, I don't go down that low.
No, but for the Bears team, you know, they have five Pro Bowl players. That's huge. And also, they're let's not forget their North Division champs and season tickets go on sale today.
And those five Pro Bowlers are
yes.
good old numbers 29, 52, 96, 23, and 39.
Wait, now, slow down. 29, 52. Khalil Mack's on one of those, right?
That's 52.
Okay.
You got that one. How about 29? Who's that? The Jewish guy. The Jewish kid.
Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen. Okay. 23. Rhymes with Buller.
Muller.
Close enough.
Schmuller.
Special Prosecutor Fuller. Yes. And 39.
Wait, hold on. 39 is...
Who 39 is Eddie Money.
Exactly. He's money. He's money, no question.
But really although Eddie Money? Take me home tonight?
It's not Eddie Money.
It's Eddie Jackson, and he twisted his ankle trying to slide down safely. I mean, it's not as bad as a celebratory sack like that guy did a few years ago.
Who's the fifth?
And Akeem Hicks.
Yeah. Akeem Hicks
is
96.
Well, what number is he?
96.
Mm-hmm. Akeem Hicks. Oh, gosh. Well, you know what's good about the Bears? They're not a selfish team. I mean, they're there's not one star. They're just together. They're stars. You know what I'm saying? They're not like the
85, 86
Bears.
You know, I hate to dismiss the 85 Bears.
Oh,
they've been with us for only over three decades.
They haven't gotten
their
respect.
They're our last good members.
The Bears. Yeah.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Banning of the bump stocks, so it happened yesterday. Not a huge surprise because President Trump did discuss it earlier after the Las Vegas shooting that he was going to make an effort to get them off the streets.
We're knocking out bump stocks. I've told the NRA, bump stocks are gone.
And with the help of Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker yesterday, they banned bump stocks, saying people have 90 days to turn them into ATF agents or to simply destroy them. Brian Claypool.
Should they get rid of their belt loops and as well?
Brian Claypool.
And rubber bands?
An attorney, and he also survived the Las Vegas massacre.
Huge relief. This is a monumental move. There is no social utility for bump stocks in a civilized society.
But a lot of our listeners, Second Amendment writers, disagree with that. And for the latest on the move that President Trump made, let's go to John Lott, who joins us. John Lott, welcome back to the program. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and author of The War on Guns and More Guns, Less Crime. Good morning, Mr. Lott. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to you, too. So we knew it was coming, but should it have been done? And do you think that this ban will be challenged in court?
To be honest, it doesn't really make a big difference to me. I don't care if they're banned. I don't think it's going to make any difference in terms of people's ability to go and put things like that together. Bump stock, you can basically make with two tubes and a spring. And, as I guess your guest host was saying there also, there are lots of other ways you can mimic the same thing. We see this type of discussion a lot. So, for example, people want to go and limit things like magazine sizes. A magazine is a box with a spring in it. I've seen people put one together in 2 minutes from scratch. And, if it makes people feel better to go and ban these types of things, fine. But, with bump stocks, I really don't care too much. With magazine sizes, I guess I care more because the main impact is going to be law-abiding citizens who, let's say, carry a concealed handgun because the only magazine that you're going to have if you're just a normal person carrying is going to be the one in the gun. And so the only people that you really limit are going to be law-abiding citizens. But, to me, there are a lot more important things to worry about, things like these red flag laws that are getting passed and other things I think are a much bigger concern than, I'm sure there will be suits. Even the Obama administration felt it was a bridge too far. They didn't have the power to go and ban bump stocks when they considered it in 2010. And, you know, it'll be challenged probably, but I think personally it's a waste of people's time and resources to challenge it.
Mr. Lott, I am the guest host, and I prefer to remain anonymous because, you know, I'm saying such outrageous things like that you can use rubber bands and belt loops, and thank you for acknowledging that contribution that I made. Let's turn our attention to something that, you know, maybe we should be worried about, and that's the AR-15. We haven't heard about it recently because there hasn't been this mass shooting of, you know, children in schools or, you know, at a mall in the United States in a number of months, but you know that you know, we're about ready for, unfortunately, because these things kind of feed on themselves. And I don't know if have you read Malcolm Gladwell about, you know, how the successive mass shootings become easier because people, it's just a copycat phenomenon for one thing, but there doesn't seem to be the price to be paid. And it's going to happen, and then you're going to have that argument all over again about the AR-15.
Well, I guess it's not really obvious to me that there's been much new learned by these killers over time, what they had already learned a while ago. You know, maybe you saw innovations with the Las Vegas shooting, but any of the other ones are pretty much the same standard format that you have. These people go and try to find some type of gun-free zone, some place where they don't have to worry about somebody being able to go and stop them. They often take multiple weapons in with them at the same time. It's really hard to see much of a change in terms of this strategy over the last 20 years. So I guess, you know, it wouldn't be the first time I didn't think Malcolm Gladwell was exactly on point.
No, but wouldn't you agree that there is a greater, and I know, and you're very good at arguing about this, that there's more mass shootings in Europe and the numbers haven't changed, but there is a certain type of mass shooting. Let's face it, it's the kind that people are really concerned about, and there might even be class and racial considerations involved in it as well. But, you know, when you get a Parkland or you get, you know, some mall where, you know, middle class or upper middle class people are, then that's when they really start getting upset. They don't get upset about, you know, three gangbangers in the Englewood neighborhood, which is a mass shooting. They care about that. And that does seem to be, there seems to be an uptick among those types of mass shootings. A, can you agree to that? And B, even if you don't agree with it, should there, what's the argument in favor of keeping the AR-15?
Okay, well, over the last year, a little bit over a year, there has been an uptick, okay? But it isn't that large, and it's 2012 had more mass public shootings that we've had this year and more than we had last year. You know, so people often, if there's an uptick for 1 year, they see trends that are occurring in things where I think, you know, if you look over the last 20 years or what have you, it's pretty hard to see much of a change. I mean, it's been up a little bit, mainly because the last year has been high. But look, it doesn't change the fundamental things of how these guys plan it. They're still planning these things 6 months to 2.5 years in advance, long periods of time in advance. It doesn't change the types of targets that they go after. You know, as to the AR-15, look, if you want to go and ban all semi-automatic rifles, at least there's a logic to that. But to go and ban a small game semi-automatic rifle, which is what the AR-15 is, it fires .223 caliber bullets. You know, for people who don't know that lingo, you know, you have 22 caliber rifles, which are kind of like the smallest. This is a little bit larger bullet. It's a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But most states won't even let you hunt deer with an AR-15. And the reason why they won't is because the bullet is so small that they're worried about wounding the deer rather than killing it. You know, if these people wanted to go and make sure they kill people, they would have a semi-automatic rifle that had, you know, had a bigger bullet, had been more likely to kill people. But, you know, the thing is, they fire the same bullets as another semi-automatic small game hunting rifle with the same rapidity doing the same damage. The thing that gets people upset is the, quote, military style. I know they often say, well, that must mean they're the types of guns used by the military. And the answer is no. No military around the world uses these types of AR-15s that are used in these attacks. They use M16s, guns that look like this, but actually have an automatic burst mode or can fire machine gun style, where one pull the trigger, bullets come out as long as you keep the trigger depressed.
So,
but if you're going to ban them, let's talk about banning all semi-automatic guns rather than just some that look like a military weapon.
Well, you won't get an argument from the liberals over that. You won't get an argument.
No, I know, but they won't. They don't want to do that. At least they haven't so far. I know you have people like the Democrat who's running for governor in Georgia who had supported a law like that in the past, and of course she was denying it for a while when she was running for election there now in Georgia. But the thing is, civilians benefit from semi-automatic guns. The alternative, so you have three types of guns. You have manually loaded, where you have to physically put a bullet in the chamber yourself. Semi-automatic, one pull the trigger, one bullet comes out, it reloads itself. One pull the trigger, one bullet comes out, it reloads itself. Or you have automatic, which are machine guns. One pull the trigger.
Okay, and what's the benefit to the semi-automatic weapon? Because, you know, the news, the nighttime news, just shows us the person who was shot and killed in Englewood. They never show the person who was protected by having a gun. It doesn't make for a story.
Well, sometimes
they do. No, but you're bringing up the exact point that needs to be talked about, and that is it takes time to manually load a gun. And so, you know, you may not have the time to go and do that. If you fire a shot and you miss, or you wound but don't stop, you know, a 220-pound man charging at you, you know, do you have time? Having a couple seconds or a few seconds may make the difference between whether an individual is able to successfully defend themselves or not.
All right.
And so civilians understand that. And so they want to go and say, well, these are military weapons. I mean, whether it's Obama or Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris or others, they use these terms, military weapons, and it's not accurate.
Okay.
No militaries around the world.
So here's the thing. Since 2010, 520,000 bump stocks have been sold. And I would wonder, do you think, you know, people are going to be law-abiding citizens and do what they're told? They have 90 days to turn over their bump stock to the ATF or to destroy it. Do you think people are going to listen? They're going to actually do this?
I think a lot of people will wait till the courts decide on this. But again, it's irrelevant whether people do it or not, because
it's not irrelevant because they banned them yesterday, so it's not irrelevant.
No, I understand. But in terms of people having access to them, if you give me a couple pieces of pipe and a large spring, I can put I've seen people put something like that together. They can put something like that together in just a few minutes. Wow. Or, you know, as was mentioned, you know, with belt loops or other types of things that are there to go and accomplish basically the same outcome. That's it. People don't usually use it because it's hard to aim a gun when you're doing that type of thing. It's only kind of like for fun, I guess. Some people get fun out of it. So, look, I'm not a rights person. To me, what matters is whether it saves lives. And bump stocks aren't things that you generally use for self-defense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to go and use it in most cases for self-defense. Mm-hmm. But things like AR-15s or semi-automatic guns generally do make sense. And so I think there's a difference there. But any criminal who cares, wants to spend a short amount of time, like this guy in Las Vegas, this guy put together incendiary bombs. This guy made napalm from scratch. This guy had all sorts.
But he also turned 14 semi-automatic. He put bump stocks on 14 semi-automatic rifles.
He could have done that. The point is, this guy had the technical skills
where
he could have easily. I mean, he had a machine shop where he made these bombs. The police. One of the few things we've gotten out of them is how technically sophisticated the bombs were that he had. He had his whole car wired with napalm. He could have driven it into the crowd. And according to things I've read, the blast radius would have been 50 yards.
Yeah. Let's say we got
rid of... You would have people within 50 yards covered with napalm.
Right. Let's say we got rid of... Okay. Let's say we got rid of all the semi-automatic weapons. We got rid of all of them. And it was leveling the playing field, so to speak. So, I mean, how many lives would be lost from ordinary citizens who would no longer be able to defend themselves because they don't have the security of an AR-15? I know it's hard to quantify, but, I mean, that's the argument right there. The liberals are going to say, you don't need a semi-automatic weapon. You don't, because a semi-automatic weapon is the one that's used in the school killings and in the mall shootings. All you need is your regular reloading revolver. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, there's a reason why police carry around Glocks,
right?
Which are semi-automatic handguns.
Yeah.
They believe for their own protection, the protection of others, it provides them some advantages for doing that. And the same advantages that apply to them apply to civilians who are there. Look, you know, somebody who's going to plan these types of attacks in advance. Let me back up a second. You know, this notion that somehow you can stop criminals from getting guns. You know, Chicago had a gun ban. D.C. had a gun ban. Now, I know people will say, well, you had to ban guns every place around the country because it was banned in Chicago. But that doesn't explain why the murder rate went up in Chicago or D.C. No. Even island nations that have banned guns. You know, whether it be Jamaica or Ireland, Republic of Ireland or the UK, every single time murder rates have gone up. And the thing is, drug gangs in Chicago, I mean, how successful have you been in stopping the drug gangs from getting a hold of drugs in Chicago?
Right. So look at the guns, too. Yeah.
Well, right. But the same way they bring in drugs, they bring in guns. If I could click my fingers and cause all illegal drugs in the United States to disappear and all guns, how long would it take before drugs started coming into El Paso? 20 minutes? And they bring in the weapons at the same time, because it's not like a drug gang can go to the police and say, look, this other drug gang stole our drugs. Can you help us get them back? They have to essentially set up their own militaries to go and protect that. You know, Mexico has a murder rate more than 5 times the murder rate in the United States. They have one gun store in Mexico.
Oh,
since 1972, they've had one gun store run by the military. Basically, the most powerful rifles you can buy are a .22 rifle. Those aren't the types of guns that the drug gangs use.
Mr. Lott, we appreciate your coming out. Amy's got me in her crosshairs right now. And,
I know. Seemed like it was going longer than
No, that was great. Right, you're great. I could listen to you forever.
Thank you for the information. It's always a pleasure having you on. Thank you. John Lott, Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and author of the book More Guns, Less Crime. He joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Wait, Sean from Elmwood Park walks in here and it reeks of cigars. Do you smell that?
I love secondhand cigar smoke.
I mean,
I can't smoke cigars myself, but I love the smell, the musky.
No,
that's
I don't,
not
but
musky.
I don't like
that's
that smell.
Cuban.
That's a day old cigar smell.
Yeah, it's a little stale.
Oh, here he comes. Hi.
It's a little stale.
Oh, it's ambiance. Okay. All right. We want to thank our Food for the Poor donators, those who have given of themselves, who have helped us out with our goal to feed 3,000 kids this holiday season. Let's give them some shout-outs. We got Amy in Mundelein. We have Dave in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Russell in Linwood. Iris in South Barrington, just to name a few. And thank you so much for helping us. Here's what you do. A one-time donation of $80. The number to call, 844-862-HOPE. That's 844-862-4673. One-time donation of $80. Or really, whatever donation you can make, but $80 will provide food for a year, clean water for life. You can also become a business benefactor, Bruce. You want to tell us about that and what new companies have signed up?
Any business that makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Food for the Poor will receive 40 60-second commercials Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. on AM 560, The Answer. Call sales manager Anjanette Netkowski directly at 847-472-8951, 847-472-8951, and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You want more than just the headlines? Find out what's going on and what it means with me, Dennis Prager, this morning at 11, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Bulls, Bears, we've got it all covered here. Yeah. Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Amy Jacobson here. Bruce Wolf sitting in for Dan Proft. Lovely shirt on. Now I know why you're dressed up.
Sure. Chet Kopic is here.
Yeah.
Never heard of the bum.
We got to compete with his mink coat. Is that a mink there?
Yeah, I mean, this is mink. And by the way, if you're scoring at home, this is the ninth fur coat I've had over the years.
Really?
Yeah.
Does Pete ever get mad at you? Do they ever come up to you and harass you?
Oh, quite a bit, yes.
Yeah.
I tell him, go have a prime rib, you know, go have a cheeseburger.
Yeah, there you go.
So when we go out afterwards and somebody throws paint on that because you're wearing a mink coat, you just got another one in the closet that you can substitute.
Well, I have a couple of them in the closet, but to answer the obvious question, I don't wear them because of warmth. I began wearing them when I was 19 years old. Do you remember a black exploitation film called The Mac years ago where the black dude had this long white rabbit fur coat?
So you're Shaft.
I thought that was the hottest thing in the world. And there used to be a place called Davis for Men, great clothing store on Well Street, and they had that coat. And I bought it. Imagine this. Now, this is like 1972. I bought it for $225.
Unbelievable.
That's it?
And it was a chick magnet.
Really?
Let me tell you, when I wore that in the female wing of Cook County Jail, they were all over me.
Yeah, right. So now, if you lend me your coat, since you go about a foot taller than
Chester,
I am, it'll just go all the way down to my ankles. Yeah.
It'll go all the way.
Well, if we take a team photo, this can cover.
Oh, that's right.
Well, entire...
we will take a picture after the show, and we will tweet it out.
And you're wearing your orange
Facebook.
Your orange shirt underneath that in honor of the Chicago Bears. And
Actually, Bruce, I woke up so damn early this morning, okay. I have no idea what the hell I'm wearing.
Well, it worked. So the Bears are now... playoff bound. I don't know what you... I picked
It's
them.
Called the North Division
Come on,
Champs.
Honestly, you thought they'd win five games this year. Right,
four or five games tops. I really guessed wrong.
But didn't Matt Nagy come out and say, we're not going to win this year? I mean, we're not going to go... Or was that last year? No, this is his
that,
first
that
year.
Was last year with John Fox, whose idea of a great ad lib was, next question.
It's not bad. It's very Belichickian. So, has Trubisky arrived? And I bring up this one play. The Packers are dropping six back in coverage, okay? So they're challenging him to throw, and he hits Trey Burton. I mean, does that mean he's arrived, or he's still making too many mistakes?
Well, he's still making youthful mistakes, but I will say this much. Under Nagy, his progress this year has been extraordinary. Then again, he finally has some weapons to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
Tariq Cohen, who...
Cohen. Sorry.
What did
you
I say?
Said Cohen. Cohen. It's all right.
All right, Amy. That's
I'm sorry.
One Jacobson, zero Kopic. 15:35 left in period number one.
I don't mean to correct you, but we just went over his name because he's going to the Pro Bowl. And he's on
Chet,
my fantasy
you still know
football
all the
team.
Uniform numbers like I do?
Oh you know, gosh. The first time you and I ever got together on radio.
Do you remember that?
You
remember
asked that. Me. Yes, I do. It was 1981. We were at some dive bar.
Sure.
I think over
were
on Irving
bar?
Park Road.
Right. Probably at Nicky's
Joe's.
Chevrolet.
Chicago Joe's.
I think we were at Nicky Chevrolet, 45.
Is that the one on beautiful Irving Park Road?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then
we're anxious to see you.
Yes, you. We know all the numbers.
Well, the first number you gave me was 48.
Sure.
And you and Andy Livingston, and I said Vic Zucco. Now,
right.
Zucco played in 1955.
Well, yeah, because you go further back.
Well,
than
I do. I go further back than George Halas.
Well, you've been to like 68 consecutive home openers?
68 consecutive Chicago Bears home openers. And if my ex-wife, Anna Marie Buzalaki, Kopic Buzalaki.
No wonder she
I
divorced
think I got that
you.
Right. I mean, I missed on going, but I think I got that one right.
You got okay. The name of your ex-wife?
She would tell you that shows how limited my life really has been.
Why? It's consistent.
Yes, it
You're
is
consistent.
Consistent. So well, do you think the Bears have it this year to go back to a Super Bowl? I mean, it's been, what,
Amy,
since
2007? May God strike me dead. A month ago, I wouldn't have said this. If you put a knife to my throat, defense travels. Defense wins on the road. Mm-hmm. This club is very good. This is the kind of ball club that if you can avoid turning over the football could stun not only this community, but stun the National Football League, because I really believe if you look at their defense, and, you know, Khalil Mack,
oh, he's amazing,
is the biggest steal, arguably, in National Football
League.
He made
a sack with his tuchus.
No, with his back.
Yeah.
Well, it was,
yes.
He hit two and a half sacks last game.
Chet and I speak Yiddish to each other.
No, but he had two and a half sacks, and I thought the half of the sack was when he
Bruce,
fell
I thought
back
it was
and
a
knocked
mitzvah.
Over the...
You make a sack with your tuchus, it's a mitzvah.
But he fell back into Aaron Rodgers, and that was
fell
half a sack.
I don't even think he fell back.
I think he
deliberately took him down with his back. So Leonard Floyd had maybe the best game he had this year. Is he coming around, or are they learning how to use him? Because he's, you know, he's kind of a freak of nature, and he can't really bowl over the opposing lineman. No. But if they play a game with him and he uses his speed, he can get to the quarterback.
I'm shocked that Leonard was chosen a Pro Bowl alternate, because that's really, he's not that good yet.
People were talking about getting rid of him. Now he's
exactly. Yeah, I mean, he began this year as something of a, will he be around for the third year type of football player? That being said, he had two sacks in the fourth quarter. But at that point, Aaron Rodgers had no run game, no offensive line. He's down. He had to throw. So he got what they call in the trade garbage sacks. Yeah. That being said, I got to tell you, his potential is off the charts.
So, and you mentioned that, you know, Rodgers was down and the Packers were
Amy,
down.
Amy, we're going to get to the fashion part of our show in about 5 minutes.
No, I'm listening.
We already
watch
did the
football.
Fur coat. So
my son plays football. I know a little
so
bit more.
So you
than
had, like, the Packers down six defensive players or whatever. I mean, they're decimated. They got a new coach. Some people are saying, okay, yeah, the Bears covered the spread and everything, but are we getting ahead of ourselves a little bit about this team?
Well, Bruce, great point, because my next book is going to be on Dennis McKinnon.
Oh, it is?
The most underrated player
little
in Chicago Bears history. Yeah.
Silky D.
It's called Bad to the Bone, The Football Life of Dennis McKinnon. It'll be out in July. It's available on Eckhart's Press.
Wow.
Or you can call me at my home number. I don't care.
And I'll give you a copy. So this is your current book, Your Dime, My Dance Floor, Chet Kopic in Pursuit of Chet Kopic. I love the way that you did that. Your fourth book?
Fifth
book. And how is this one different than the other ones? I know you teamed
this
up
This one
with...
is actually selling, Amy.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which makes it the most remarkable book.
So this
I've
is
ever
kind
written.
Of like Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's like 10 volumes.
I read your first book.
Listen, my fall of the Roman Empire happened 30 years ago. You see, I like being in a joint like this, this early in the morning, because it reminds me of when I was making real money.
Sure. Me too. We have that in common.
Your first, how is this different from your first book? Because I actually read your first book, Chet Kopic, Laying It on the Line. I do believe that was the...
Well, this book, Amy, was written kind of on the spur of the moment. Mm-hmm. I sat down one day, and I loved to write. When I was very young, my initial ambition was not to be a sportscaster. It was to be a sports writer.
Wow.
And when I was 7, 8 years old, my dad would have the Tribune and the Sun-Times in the morning, the Daily News and the American at night. And I was galvanized by people like Dave Condon and John Carmichael and Jack Griffin and people like that. I really want Royko.
Yeah.
You know, I was crazy about Royko. I wanted to be Royko, but the fact is God couldn't be Royko, as far as I'm concerned, with all due respect to God.
Sure.
Who, by the way, took Green Bay and the points.
Stupid God.
But I sat down and I began to write, and I wrote the first chapter in the book is kind of surrealistic, and you have to have some imagination. My dad scored 4 front row tickets. This is in the late 1950s. For a White Sox-Yankees doubleheader at Old Comiskey Park.
Wow.
My mom went. She could care less. And my uncle was a big baseball fan. And I will never forget as Mickey Mantle came out of the dugout.
Good old number 7.
To the on-deck circle.
Sure.
Good old number 7.
Yeah.
The Mick, here is this Adonis from Oklahoma who is so good looking, so stunning, so physically appealing. He makes, you know, he makes Brad Pitt look like Wolfman Jack.
Really?
And I remember the look on my mom's face.
When she saw him, was she... interested in baseball then?
She ran out onto the on-deck circle.
No, what she did was she said, Mick, the hell with the ball game. Let's go to the Palmer House and get loaded.
Well, those are the kind of anecdotes that we need to populate.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about wrestling Victor the Bear 3 times. I talk about the formation of my personality on air, off air, which is very much that of Jack Brickhouse, Brent Musburger, the roller derby.
Sure.
Which I broadcast for
what
3
was Joni Weston's number? So...
53.
Okay. I don't remember. Here's one thing that you were a pioneer on. You know, people don't recognize this. So, you know, Amy, they used to use film to cover ball games and things like that.
I had displaced film once in an audio trip.
This technological development comes along called the Minicam.
Yeah.
And Chet's the first guy to really take advantage of it in the sportscasting sense. You'd go into the beer games, into the locker room after the game, interview everyone like you were taking their depositions, you know, that like it was the, like it was the Vietnam War that you were covering. And nobody else did that. And then everybody copied that. Everybody started saying, we're going to interview everybody in the Bears locker room and treat it, you know, like this is hard news. And you did that.
Amy, here's your headline for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Shortly before his death, Kaepernick had been described as a trailblazer by veteran radio and TV star Bruce Wolf.
Well, I'm going to write the
posthumous. By the way, if you're in need of legal help, don't call Howard, call Bruce.
Right. So can you get me Javi Baez? To do a spot.
I really dig
for
Howard.
Me.
He's cool.
Oh my gosh! Do your Chet Kopic impersonation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my!
I have no idea.
Do you know? Do you know how much mileage over the years I got out of?
And you never given me one dime for that.
What? It's not about. Why don't you read a food for the poor? Read when Chit Chet. Here you go. Here you go.
The one you did that I love was we're talking Gian. We're talking Greco. We're talking Greco-Roman wrestling.
You do it in a Chet voice.
Oh, here. I could never do it.
Am I putting you guys on the spot right now? Is this uncomfortable?
Just read the business benefactor.
Read the program business benefactor. No, we're not handing him the business benefactor. Yeah. Really? All right.
Do it. All
right, we have a special program for business owners or anyone involved in marketing a business. It's called our business benefit program. You hear what I'm talking about? With this program, any business that makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Friday, to Food for the Poor, we'll receive 40 60-second commercials Monday through Friday.
Come on,
we're
give
talking
me something.
5 a.m.
Yeah,
through
yeah,
8 p.m.
Yeah.
We're talking a.m. 560.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking The Answer. We're not talking about the other palookas. We're talking about The Answer. For a business that wants to be involved in this program, here's how they can do so as I pass it on to my good friend, Chet.
Okay. Yeah, Chet.
Yeah. Call Engineer Nutkowski directly at 847-472-8951. I'm stuck. And ask for the Business Benefactor Program. Visit 560theanswer.com and searching for the keyword food. That's lobotomy load on sports.
Thank you.
I owe Chet Kopic my career.
Where's our clap line? All right. Thank you so much, Chet Kopic.
Whatever
again,
his
the
name
book,
is.
Your Dime, My Dance Floor, Chet Kopic in Pursuit of Chet Kopic. So good seeing you, my friend.
Bless you. Good to see you, Amy. You look spectacular.
Thank you.
Will you tell your husband to get lost and you and I'll spend a gorgeous week in Racine?
Right. We'll go to breakfast instead of you going to breakfast with Bruce.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, come on, so. Sing it, Bruce.
We're gonna do it. Yada da 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 da.
Give us any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make
your dreams come true.
Doing it our way. Nothing's gonna turn us back now. Straight ahead, we're on the track now. Don't say tracks. Make our dreams come true.
Is it like Lenny or Squiggy?
In our way. There is nothing we won't try. Ooh, never heard the word impossible this time. There's no hey.
Remember those long TV theme songs? They don't have that anymore because they don't have time for that anymore. The TV theme. Modern Family would already be in the second act.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Modern Family, they don't have a song. Oh no,
yes,
they do a little.
But it's short. This just goes on forever. It's like a symphony.
I love this song. Ready? The crescendo is right here. Ready? Turn it up, Justin. Oh, I wish I had a voice.
For me and you.
Thank you. And we did that.
You know, and she,
because
she,
Penny
she,
Marshall.
She shattered the glass
away.
Ceiling right now in heaven.
She, oh, yeah.
Too soon. Yeah.
Too soon.
Penny's from heaven. Penny's in heaven.
Yes, that's what it was.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank.
Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.